Well, I'm very excited to welcome everybody, whether it's here, Muskego, Waterford, online, for these next 2 weeks as we just move into what I hope is going to set us up for a very, very, very special Easter. And of course, God's working in each of our lives today. You know, there are many symbols that are meaningful and powerful that bring us right back to the message of Christianity and characterize Christianity. But there is one symbol that just kind of, you know, stands head and shoulders above all of the rest. You could almost say it is the universal symbol for Christianity. Anybody want to take a guess of what that might be? Not that you've been given any hints today. It'd be the what? Yeah, exactly. The cross. Now, I find this to be both interesting, kind of intriguing, and at the same time, ironic. Because when Jesus talked about the cross, there was an immediate message that came into people's minds. In Jesus' day, this equaled this. Now, that's a very unique symbol to have associated with you and your followers, isn't it? I mean, when you go like, and this is what I want you to think about when you think about God. But Jesus transformed this symbol. He transformed the cross from that which represented humiliation, suffering, shame, high shame, and death, to that which symbolized love, life, freedom, commitment. If I were to ask, how many have a cross? Necklace, charm, something like that. Can I just hands? How many here would be cross owners? Okay, so you, good. How many here would have a cross tattoo? Kind of like you're carrying it with you all the time. You know, the permanency of that. One of the most popular of all tattoos. I would like to give to everyone, now you're thinking, a cross tattoo. Sorry. I would like to give to everyone not one, but two crosses this morning. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come, please. And when they do, I'd like you to pick out two of the crosses of the containers that are in there. Now, when you get yours, you're immediately going to recognize this is a very high-quality gift that you're being given today. Maybe one of the most valuable things that you will have been able to receive. If you go to a hotel, you're definitely going to want to rent a safe to be able to put it in and keep them in that way. The value, I would estimate, somewhere in the hundreds and hundreds of dollars a piece. But you're worth it today. And when you're thinking about the Field of Dreams you're offering, just kind of put it back for the crosses that you're getting. Just kidding, Bo. I hope that in the crosses that you get, and if you want ones of different color, you can exchange those with somebody around you that way. But I hope that the crosses that you receive today are going to, as I mentioned in the beginning, set you up for one of the most meaningful Easters that you've ever had. That these next 2 weeks, you're going to carry these with you, which will both set you up for Easter and beyond. Now, you might be wondering, why two crosses? Which is the question of the day. Every follower of Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus, it's going to require two crosses. In a nutshell, the first cross is Jesus' cross. Very significant, can't be a follower without it. But there is also a second cross that Jesus talks about, our own cross. That is a personal cross that we're going to have as well. In fact, that's what we'll focus on. We'll talk about Jesus' cross next week, which, by the way, it'll be a great, great time to bring a friend with you. But this week, we want to look at the significance of the second cross. So if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to take it right now and turn with me over to the book of Luke. If you didn't bring a Bible, if you can grab a pew Bible somewhere nearby, turn over to page 1610. I think it'll be very, very helpful just to follow along with this. kind of the picture, big picture or context about where Jesus was wanting to bring his disciples to. Verse 18, it starts out this way. It says, once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, hey guys, who do the crowd say that I am? And they replied, some say that you're John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others, one of the prophets of long ago that's come back to life. So all of, you know, people say you're a very prestigious person, you're a very important person, very godly person. Now look at verse 20. But Jesus says, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? One of the most important questions that we'll ever answer. Who do you say? You know, it matters what other people say, but what matters most is, but what do you say? Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, well, you are God's Messiah. Now, Luke kind of gives us the shortened answer right here, the little bit fuller answer Matthew records for us, which we've got right up here. Matthew 16, Peter said this. He said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, so he nailed it. You know, this is who you are, Jesus. We know it. We embrace it. That's why we're following you. Okay? Verse 21. Then Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, which is a bit puzzling. He says this, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. So he's telling his disciples, you're right, that's who I am, but there's a part that I know you're not getting yet that you're going to need to get, so let's not just, you know, make this our message right now. There'll be a time for that. But here's what I want you to be thinking about. Then we come to verse number 23. He says to them all, in fact, let me put this on the screen. Would you read it with me? Then, ready? Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and daily and follow me. Jesus' message to his disciples, as he was giving it to them, was always one of hope and inspiration. Imagine for just a moment what it was like to be invited to be a disciple of Jesus. Jesus comes to you and says, I want you to spend time with me. I want to apprentice you. I want you to be as close to me in relationship and friendship that we possibly can be. It was an invitation not just of importance and value, you know, the fact that you're chosen, I mean, you're feeling like good about that, but every time Jesus would extend the invitation, it was something that you knew he really wanted this. He really wants me to be a follower of his. I mean, just think about that. When you're wanted by Jesus as being a follower of his, all that went into that. Now, Jesus would make this clear. It's an invitation. It's up to you. It's not something I'm going to compel you to do. It's not compulsory. Either you follow me or I'm not going to have anything to do with you at all. But rather that invitation. So, when we're looking, remember Luke 9:23 that was up there, when Jesus said to those that were going to follow him, if you're going to do so, you're going to need to, you know, to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. These things, and I hope this is helpful, these things were not given as prerequisites. In other words, if you're going to follow me, first, got to deny yourself, second, got to take up your cross daily. Third, you have to make this commitment to follow me. They're prerequisites, and then you can. It wasn't that. Those three things were not on-ramps, requirements, so that now you can be it. But in fact, you can think of them as off-ramps. As one who's been invited to follow Jesus, And being made a follower of his with no strings attached whatsoever, it's by grace, he does say to them, so that there's clarity. And you can stop at any time. And here's the ways that you would choose that you no longer wanted to be a follower of mine. In an unwillingness in any three of these areas, which we'll talk about in just a second. But let me just keep the big picture in front of us right now. Jesus wants us to understand that before you would follow him, you first would need to trust him. Trusting comes before. It precedes following. If you hadn't trusted him as Savior, trusted him as, remember what Peter said, you're the Christ, you are the Son of God. You are the one who has paid the price for my sins on the cross. You are the one that's risen from the dead. I mean, if you haven't come to that understanding, this other stuff really doesn't make any sense to you at all, does it? Takes us back to the two crosses, which we will get to again. Until I've come to understand what Jesus did on the cross for me and embrace that, then I'm not going to be ready for this second cross. And in fact, what Jesus says about this second cross, take up your cross daily and follow me, it's like, whoa, this just really isn't, you know, I don't get all of this. But when you've done this, all of a sudden now, the second cross, and I'll make for me, I've got two, red I'll put as Jesus' cross, a yellow one. All of a sudden, this second cross, now I get it. Now it makes sense. So today, if you've not trusted Jesus yet, come to this understanding, Son of God, went to the cross, died, rose again for my forgiveness, need to put my faith and trust in him. Jesus says, that's my invitation to you. Come to me to trust me. But you can say, I have trusted him, put my faith and trust in him, believe, trusted. Then Jesus said, then I would like to invite you, because I want you to be a follower of mine. Which then brings us to what he has to say here in Luke chapter 9, verse number 23. So let's just kind of unpack that a little bit so we can understand what it is as well as what it isn't. Because the first thing that Jesus said there, if you're going to be a follower of mine, that you're going to need to deny yourself. Now you look at that term, you got to deny yourself. How many believe that this is pretty much just a negative thing? I mean, yeah, it's like, hoo-hoo, does that sound like fun? Right? I mean, I get to deny myself. We see this and we're thinking things like, bummer. Fun's over. This is not what I would choose for myself. And here's what's really important, that you do not let anybody else put words in Jesus' mouth, nor put words in his mouth that he never said yourself. When Jesus said deny yourself, he was never saying that I do not want you to have a joy-filled life. I do not want you to have fun in life. I do not want you to have excitement in life. Which we would say denying ourselves is going to take out all those. Jesus never said that. In fact, he sets us up for greater joy, greater fulfillment in our lives. So what's he mean? Well, truth be told, he's going, there are times as a follower of mine that you will need to deny yourself. There are times that you're going to have to say no to self. You have to say no to what I want in order to be able to say yes to what God wants. That makes sense? There are these times in my life that I'm going to want something that's going to be opposite of what God wants. And Jesus said in those times, it's going to be important that you can deny yourself. For example, there may be times in your life that you want to punish someone that's done you wrong. Can anybody think of a time in your life that somebody has hurt you? All right. And how did you want to respond to them? I'm going to make them what? Yeah, you're not thinking about how you can make their life better, right? So you know what you want, but if I ask you, but what does God want you to do? How does God want you to respond to that person? You'd say, I don't even think about that. Because you might know, right? There may be times in your life that you feel like just ignoring your spouse. Not saying you, but theoretically somebody. Whether something's happened or, you know, you're just in a cross mood or for whatever reason, you're just like, I don't want anything to do with them right now. But is that what God wants you to do? So you're like, I know what I want to do, but I know what God wants me to do. And Jesus is going like, are you willing to deny yourself? I mean, there's times you're going to go out and you just want, I just want to spend. I just want to spend. Right? But what does God want me to do? Like live within my means? It's so restrictive, right? You feeling it? Jesus said, when you say no to yourself in order to say yes to God, one of the things that's important about this would be realize that this changes in seasons of life. There were things that used to be like, hey, this is the deal that I knew God wanted me to do one thing, and, you know, I want to do one thing, like party like crazy, and God's like, yeah, don't go there, don't do that. But you're going, at this point in my life, I'm not there. So you're like, I'm good. Probably not. Because there's still going to come times that there's something that self wants to do that is really opposite of what God would want for you to do or want for you. And Jesus said, as a follower of mine, to keep following me, this is going to be key. Because when you start going no to God, that's when you're taking the off ramp. Get it? If you get it, say got it. Get it? Good. Okay, good. So Jesus said, this is important as a follower of mine. Second thing Jesus said is, now there's this matter of taking up your cross. So we got the two crosses again, because it's not taking up my cross, but you're going to need to take up your cross. Now remember, when Jesus said it to his disciples, what came to their mind? The cross is a picture of what? Yeah, death or shame or problems or suffering. I mean, when Luke wrote this, every single person that would read this has seen somebody crucified. Literally, they're like, hey, that person, you know, I've seen that. There was incredible persecution when Luke had written this. And people that were reading it now, you want to be a follower of Jesus, you know, he said, take up your cross. For them, it could have been a literal thing. And they realized that it's like, if I'm going to follow Jesus, there may be a cross that's there before me. So what was Jesus, what was he communicating? What does this mean, take up my cross? What do I, take up my cross daily? What exactly does that mean? Because today, anybody ever heard the term, it's your cross to bear? You ever heard that term, it's your cross to bear? That's a colloquialism that's used for, it's your lot in life. You know, there's something that you just have to deal with. Maybe you lost your parents when you're young. Maybe all your investments went south. You know, something like, well, that's just the cross you've got to bear. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He's not talking about, here's some issue or problem that you've got in life there. The cross, your cross, is always connected back with Jesus himself. You see, taking up our cross will be to identify ourselves with Jesus on a daily basis. If I were to ask, has anybody here ever been put down or got pushed back or made fun of, ridiculed in some way because you were a Christian or a Christ follower? Anybody ever gotten anything like that? Yeah, I know I have. You know, people find out that you're Christian and it's, you know, the butt of this joke, the butt of that joke, you know, etc. So if you've gone through that, you know what that means. If you haven't gone through with it, it's interesting, either you're around all Christian people that like you, or maybe nobody knows that, in fact. But a quick story that really just challenged me comes from Carmen. You may recognize Carmen up here. Carmen, of course, has grown up here at Fox River. She's doing her second year right now with CRU, Campus Crusade for Christ, in Turkey. And she is working with a team over there reaching college students in Turkey. The individual that she's with right now, Nabil, he was one of the students that was reached in college. Now, when they finish college, they have compulsory military service. So, kind of like Israel, I mean, just like everybody has to go and join the military. So, Nabil is writing to Carmen in this note about what basic training was like and his appreciation for her and the things that she and her team has helped them with. So he writes to her, "Dear Carmen, the facilities that we were put in were from the 60s and have no improvements since then. But," he said, "being a Christian really was the hardest thing for me. On my second day, our commander asked, 'Are there any non-Muslims among us?' I raised my hand and all eyes were fixed on a guy who has an Islamic name but is now declaring himself to be a Christian. There were ups and downs. Every single day, I got mocked and called names like Our Holy Father, Saint Nabil, Christian Boy, Heretic, etc. Once things got so intense that some guys came and they drew a cross on me. I said, 'You might mock me with this cross, but I will carry it. I am proud of it.' And even though I said so, it was so hard that I couldn't stop my tears. Now, the stories are not all this sad. I was shocked," he says, "to see tens of people coming to ask questions about my faith. Every one of them interested in my story. It was a great chance to share with them. As you know, it is illegal to share the gospel. And I felt it very uncomfortable while answering their questions. But I want to share some encouraging story. A soldier came up to me at the end of training and told me that the first thing he will do after service is to find a Bible and read one. Another soldier promised to stay in touch and ask more questions to me. I have new friends now, and all of them want to know more about my story. Please pray for them." And then he names six individuals. He concludes saying, "The things I miss most, number one, having community. I can't describe how hard it gets not to have other believers around me. And number two," he says, "a shower. Went for 6 weeks without one over there." He said, "I was quite smelly. Thank you. Thank you for praying for me, supporting me in these hard times. I will remember you in my prayers." That's Nabil. That's in the last couple of weeks. When we talk about identifying ourselves with Jesus, we certainly need to do it outwardly. Just to allow others to know through our life, through our word, through our story, yes, in fact, I am a follower of Jesus, but there's also this inwardly part. And I think this gets missed. And when you miss the inwardly part of identifying yourself as a follower of Jesus, you miss the identity that Jesus wants you to be rooted in. When your identity, you look into the mirror and you realize, "I am, by choice, a follower of Jesus." That's where my identity is rooted. It helps you with the connectedness. It helps you then with the outward parts that are going to take place as well. And the third distinctive that Jesus gave as followers of his was this, that they were going to be people that follow him. In other words, they follow in his footsteps. They follow the lead that he gives to them. This ongoing following that takes place. Jesus said, this is in John chapter 15, "This is simply the reciprocating of love." His words, John chapter 15, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one that loves me." Now, I mentioned this before. I don't keep his commands and therefore I'm loving him. But because I love him, that's why I follow his lead. That's why I do the things that he asks me to do. So those three distinctives. Now, bottom line, here's what he has for us. Bottom line is that Jesus desires, invites us to daily take up our cross and to follow him. what he has before us right here. We'll get to these two crosses. But what I want you to ask, not is this true, because we all know it's true. I mean, we read it, right? It's clear he wants it. Here's what I want you asking now. Why? Why does Jesus invite me to follow him? Why does Jesus want me to take up my cross? Why? Because it's not a command. If I'm going to own you, then here's what you're going to have to do. It's not a requirement. If you want the forgiveness that I provided for you on my cross, then you're going to have to embrace your cross. It's not that. And if it's not that, why? Why does he want you to follow him? That's the question, isn't it? And this will get you pretty close to the bullseye with it. It's because this invitation is to experience more. More of him, more of his grace. The second cross is what opens up more of Jesus for us. Let me see if we can take these two and put them in perspective. So if you get your crosses, just keep them handy here real quickly. The first cross, Jesus' cross, we can illustrate in this way. With Jesus' cross, he did for us one of the great needs that we have. You know, we all start out with the same spiritual need. All of us have this God-shaped hole that we're trying to deal with in our lives. So if you're using your hand out, just put a hole in the first heart. We realize this is, you know, here's the need that we have before God, our God-shaped hole. Jesus, with his cross, here's what he did. And we'll talk more about this next week. But in Jesus' cross, he filled it. He filled the God-shaped hole. Jesus' cross brings me forgiveness. Jesus' cross brings me into this relationship, personal relationship with God. That's what Jesus' cross does. But then there's the second cross. So that's the first cross. That's Jesus' cross. But in the second cross, here's what takes place. When I get this cross into my life, when I allow this to take place, this is when I begin to experience God's heart for me. I'm going to experience more love for him. I'm going to experience more love for others. I'm going to experience more of his working. I'm going to experience more of his grace in my life than I would if I didn't take up my cross, if I didn't continue as a follower of Jesus. Maybe I can illustrate with this analogy. How many have the book that tells you about God? How many have the book in which God reveals himself to us? In other words, if I ask you this, how many own a Bible, whether electronically or physically, but you own a Bible? Can I see your hands? How many own a Bible? Everybody? Okay. So you can say, I am an owner of the book of God. I am an owner of the book that opens up God to me. And it's true, because you are. You're an owner of that. You've got that there. But if I were to ask you, do you ever open it? No, never open it. Way more truth to that, too, than what we know. But go with this, with the analogy here. Never open it. But you could know more about God if you did. Yes. You could experience what God wants for you if you'd open it and learn it. Yes. No, but I'm satisfied with just owning the book, but never letting the book bring to me what God wants for me to have that he did in giving the book, accomplishing it. So it's one thing to own it, and it's another thing to open it and let it begin to impact you. To let God begin to speak to you. To let God begin to do that working that he wants to do through his word in our life. Right? Two very significant things. Take your crosses. It is one thing to have come to Jesus and trusted him. And you can say, I have Jesus. You know, I've got this one cross in my hand. I have Jesus. And you do. I mean, if you were sincere when you came and said, Jesus, I want your forgiveness. I want what you accomplished on the cross. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you died and rose again, and I need what you did on the cross. You have it. But is that enough? I got it. That's all I need from him. I got it. That's all I'm looking for. And Jesus is going, but if you would take your cross and put that with my cross, it's like opening up all that I have for you. Following me, that's when you begin to experience new, more, that you'd never get just by simply possessing. This is allowing what Jesus has intended in following him to become a reality in our life. So with your two crosses today, here's the invitation. If you've never received Jesus, his invitation is, I did everything necessary on the cross and in my resurrection to pay for your sins and to fill your God-shaped hole. And if you will come to me, trust me and receive me, that is sufficient for you, I will give you forgiveness. I will bring you into that relationship with God. And you can take him up on that just by saying, that is what I need, and that's what I respond to your invitation, Jesus, to come to you and trust you. Now, if you have, Jesus has this invitation, the second invitation. He said, I have so much more than just this. I really want you to follow me. Will you? Ready to pray? Take your crosses, put them in your hand if you would, please, and pray with me. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. For those that are here and ready just to respond to this first invitation of yours, to put their trust in you, not what they're doing to get to heaven, but what you did for them, for their forgiveness and for relationship with God. And if that's you today, and you're ready to trust Jesus and what he did on the cross for you, just tell him this, yes. Yes, I am, and yes, I do, Jesus. And it's best I know how I receive you as my Savior right now. And can I ask, how many today would go, God, that's me. Whether you're in our campus, whether you're here, would you just lift the hand and go like, I want to receive you, Jesus, today. I need you. Just raise your hand high. Wonderful. Sweet. Now for everyone that has, and if you just have, that's okay. If you just have, you can now, with this second cross next to the first, say this, and Jesus, I want to be a follower of yours. I want to take your invitation. I know that there's times I'm going to have to deny myself. I know that I need to identify with you, and I will. And I will follow you with your help. Today, I take up again my cross and follow you. If that's your prayer, would you lift the hand? Hi. Jesus, the second cross is the one again that I own today. Thank you for your grace in our life, Jesus, and the fact that there is so much more. I pray that your heart will be able to be experienced by everyone here through the two crosses that they hold in their hand. We pray this in your name, and everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen.